Our reading is from Luke chapter 5. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal those who were ill. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up onto the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Good morning, folks. Thank you to Claire and to Kirsty and Karen and to Maureen for the various parts in pulling together today's service. So thank you, guys. I love our passage today. It's a big favourite of mine. I love to witness the faith of the guys who carry this wounded man to Jesus. And I love their tenacity, their endurance. They're willing to kind of take on a hard job just to serve this man on the mat. So this is the story we're going to be looking at today. And I love it. It's a passage that's full of faith. And I know that by spending some time in that passage ourselves, that we too can potentially grow in faith. And that's my prayer for us today. Lord, increase our faith, increase our amazement at Jesus as we spend time in your presence today. Amen. Amen. I want to suggest this morning that actually a way that we can grow in faith is to show that faith, to exhibit to someone else. And by demonstrating faith to someone else, you know, it's not maybe something that we do naturally, but it is the thing that we see in this passage. These men are showing their faith to the man on the mat. And I wonder sometimes if the way that we look, you know, if we talk about wanting to get closer to Jesus, if we talk about wanting to increase our faith, we tend to kind of think upon that as then spending time alone with Jesus. We go inward, we look, we have an inward focus. And I wonder sometimes, have we a tendency to do that too much? But actually, this passage encourages us to be more outwardly focused, as a way of actually becoming closer to Jesus. And I wonder, when I look at this passage as well, you know, do any of us think of ourselves as people who could be carrying the mat for someone in need? And so those are some of the thoughts that are going round my mind this morning as we start this passage. So without the community around him, without the men, and I'm guessing they were men, willing to take on the heavy burden of carrying him, you know, this paralyzed man wouldn't have met with Jesus. God places us in a community of faith, and that community is essential. It's essential for us to grow with each other and to grow closer to Jesus and to grow so that we can bring people before God as well. And if anything, in this past year, that has become even more apparent as we've been artificially isolated and we've actually had to work really hard to be a community with one another and to support one another and to actually be virtually together with one another as well.
The community is vital. Sometimes we can be the person on the mat, just needing support from folk around us. And sometimes we're the one carrying the mat. And the thing about a community is there's room for both of those people. They can exist at the same time, and the community is big enough to contain that, to support that, to look after each other. And you know, that's one of the big benefits of community. It often, being part of a church family, will stretch us. We maybe don't feel like socialising. We maybe don't feel we want to be part of a community. We're happy sitting on our own at home. Maybe sometimes it's uncomfortable even being part of the community. But actually, it's part of God's plan for our discipleship. So community is vital. And that's one of the things I see in this passage today. It connects God's children to one another. And, you know, coming out of lockdown, you know, we realise more and more the need for that. And we do that, we grow in discipleship, we grow in our faith, and we see healing. Dare I say that? We see healing when we work together in community, when we pull together, when we bring someone who is broken and wounded close to Jesus, we see healing and we all draw closer to Jesus together. Because we have this paralyzed man on the mat today. And we don't know what's put him there. You know, maybe due to his condition, he has given up all hope. Maybe he can't see a way out of his predicament, out of his woundedness himself. Maybe his world is so small that he sees himself as living in a small box. And I've been reading a novel, The Girl in the Box, this past week. And then it's evident that as she was growing up, she was sometimes contained in a box. She was locked up by a parent. And the smallness of her world, it just really struck home to me that if someone is unwell, that they might have a similarly small world just simply because they don't have the ability to get out and to see the wider world. So this man on the bed, you know, he may have had a difficult life. He has a tricky life. He has stuck with this illness. Now, if you look around you now in the world that you live in, who do you come across in life? How many people have you got around you that maybe that might be that a good description of that person, that because of something, it could be anything at all. It could be financial difficulty, it could be addiction, a mental or a physical illness. Whatever it is, you know, that you see, we look around us and there are so many of us not able to live our lives to the full because of what's going on. And so what that man needed was a community around him. Friends willing to step up and to show him hope when he was despairing. Friends who would step up and who would go the extra mile because they had heard of this Jesus and what he could do. And so the friends coordinated themselves, and that in itself is not always straightforward. They agree to work together to do the work of carrying the paralyzed man on his bedding, of taking him to Jesus. And actually, you know, even before that step, there is another part that they had to do, which is not really spoken of here, but before they can carry him to Jesus, they had to persuade him that they would bring him to Jesus and that they could take him to Jesus and that they felt that journey was worthwhile. And that just says to me what determination, what love these men showed to their paralyzed friend. But say he hadn't been ready. Say just not a chance. No way was he leaving his house. He was to stay where he was. The friends we know could still bring him to Jesus in prayer. And that is the situation for us. If folk aren't willing to be helped or supported at the moment, we can still help and support by praying. Because sometimes we get stuck. Sometimes we all get stuck at a stage, and we all need some support from our community to get going again. These men did what was necessary to convince the man to be carried. And when we think about it, that can't have been either easy or dignified or comfortable for him. But they did it. They did it together, and they brought him to Jesus. And that in itself, you know, even if we were to stop there, that's an amazing story. There's so much we could do with that, looking at how we bring others to Jesus. But there's more to the story. They set out to bring their friend to Jesus, and having persuaded the man to come with them, and they carried him, they find their way into the house is blocked. And it's blocked by whom? It's blocked by the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, who are now crowding around Jesus. Because the story starts, one day Jesus was sitting, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. Jesus was surrounded by the people who would eventually become his enemies. He's surrounded by Pharisees, the lawmakers. And that's, if you're going to put that into a modern equivalent, it's the equivalent of the pastors, the ministers, the elders, the well-versed, mature Christians who know just how they want church to be. And those very people are blocking the way of this party reaching Jesus. And that should disturb all of us who've been around the church for some time. You know, that those people are actually blocking they're blocking access to Jesus, and they're the very ones who should be enabling access, who should be making it easy for folk to draw close to Jesus. I wonder, do we block anyone from meeting Jesus? And I know that will be unintentional, but that actually makes it all the harder to spot whom we might be preventing from coming closer. And I encourage you to ask Jesus, ask God to show you any actions or any words you have that turn people away from Jesus. So our party face blocked doorways, but they're resourceful. And so they carry the man up onto the flat mud roof, and they clear away the compressed earth between the slats of wood holding it all together, and they form a hole and they bring him through to Jesus. And what does Jesus do? Do you know, they go there and they're hoping for a miracle to get their friend off his mat, a physical healing so that he can walk again. And the paralyzed man gets that. But then Jesus exceeds their expectations because he offers more. This healer, Jesus, surprised everyone present and does what they know only God can do. Jesus forgives the paralyzed man's sins. They wanted physical wholeness, but first God offered him spiritual wholeness and freedom. And in his explanation, Jesus makes reference to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel's an Old Testament prophet, and in chapter 7 it says this about the coming Messiah: the Son of Man was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. Jesus is declaring in this passage that he is the messianic figure spoken about in the Old Testament book of Daniel. He is God who can forgive sins. And he came not only to give us physical life, but spiritual life too, that we might live life to the full. And unusually, in this particular story, it was the faith of the carrying friends that led to the forgiveness of the paralyzed man's sins. You know, wow, what a gift they gave their friend in taking him to Jesus. I wonder, did they look on with a pang of envy at what they saw Jesus do to their friend? I guess out of the crowd of men carrying the bedding, the blanket, I guess not everything was going perfectly in the lives of the carriers. They maybe had their own share of aches and pains, or suffering from an anxiety or a fear, or maybe an ill child or a barren wife at home. You know, I guess not all of them will have been in a great place. And yet they were willing. They had enough faith in this Jesus to join with the others in their community, to put in the collective effort and demonstrate their faith in their action for another person. Do you know, if it was us, you know, maybe we could say, I prefer to sit at home, I prefer to watch Netflix. But they push themselves to turn up for the guy on the mat and to do what was needed. And maybe you're in a place where you'd prefer the Netflix option. Maybe you're going through a trial, an illness, a period of uncertainty. And I wonder, will this passage challenge you to turn up and do something for someone else? To turn up and help someone carry a mat? To turn up and watch someone else be touched by the healing power of Jesus? Might you be the person in the church community who shows up for someone else? Might you be the person in the church community who provides help for someone else? Maybe there's someone who has drifted towards the edge, who no longer is part of the community, but you just haven't seen them for a while. Maybe you might be the person to reach out, connect with them, see if there's any way you can serve them. Because in doing that, in witnessing God working in other lives, do you know, we too see God at work. We too are discipled, and we too experience an increase in our own spiritual development. There is no doubt that the men carrying the mat will have been encouraged and their faith increased because of their act of service for this man on the mat. We too, by serving others, can have an increase in our own spiritual development, and that's all by serving others. We heard Maureen serve the church today by reading scripture for us. But many of you will also know Maureen as the CAP Christians Against Poverty manager for Glasgow West. And in our notices today, you'll see a second reminder. She's looking to set up a small group, maybe one or two from each of her churches, to help her, to support her in her work, to help with befriending, a bit of raising awareness of the charity, etc. There are so many in poverty in our city struggling with their finances. They're sitting in on their mats in financial despair. And Maureen is asking us to help her lift one end of a mat and help bring folk closer to Jesus. And so if that's something you could do, I'd encourage you, get in touch with Maureen. And we hope to follow up with a CAP Sunday in July where we can remind ourselves of the vital work. Yeah, we benefit when we serve someone else. But actually, looking again at this passage, that's not the primary reason. I'm going to read to you just the end of the bit that I read before. Jesus says, "I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And so he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. This is all about giving glory to God. And that is what we read. Everybody gave praise to God. And that's the first time in the book of Luke that we actually read about that. We've seen that people are amazed. We have seen people speak well of Jesus and his ministry. And again, they were amazed. But it's today in this passage that we see that they are amazed to the extent that they praise God. I know that there's a time when we all need a spell on the mat. We need our church communities to support us, whether that's driving us somewhere, giving us space to talk, delivering a meal. And in those times, I pray we turn up for each other. But to be honest, most of the time, we are given the opportunity to be a mat carrier for others. And if we choose to exercise our faith, if we choose to invest our faith in others, then this passage reminds us that we will see increase. We will see increase in our own faith. We will see an increase in amazement in those who hear our stories, those who hear the testimony, and we will all praise God for what he has done. Galatians 5, chapter 6 reminds us, Paul reminds us, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. How can you and I put that into practice today? Amen.